you. Welcome to Heart of Worship, Episode 3. We thank you for all of your response, all of your viewing. And again, we pray that this episode blesses your life too. To my right, my brother Doogie.
And God bless you guys.
And to my left is a replacement for Angelo Mitchell, my brother Andrew. He's filling in for today. Might be on next episode too. We will see how that goes. But he's in charge of the sound and the media, ministers, teaches, and like all of us at Heart of Worship, we do whatever the Lord calls us to
Amen.
Do. Amen.
Amen.
And to all the way to my left, Brother Kolya,
Amen.
Our worship leader. And we're here again. It's been interesting. I believe we've had some, definitely some responses based on last episode. Again, I will say this to the viewer. We were putting short clips of highlights of the podcast, but I do advise, listen to all of it. It's important that we kind of display the highlights to get your attention, but we're just using it so that you can get involved. The greater purpose of it would be go listen it from start to end. You know, we're talking about the ordinance of the church. We're talking about what a Christian is, what the church is. And we know that the church is not a building. It's the believers that gather in a building that make a church. You just read it throughout scripture. It's the church in Asia Minor, the seven churches. And when John writes in the Island of Patmos to the seven churches and to the seven angels who were seven ministers, they didn't have no buildings. We understand that there is a ordinance, and we're going to touch on that a little bit as we go through the program. We're also going to explain the idea of vain worship, which I believe that has come out immensely through the three episodes, and yes. I believe is one of my favorite topics. And of course, what true worship is. We want to interact with you at the same time, because there is some questions, right?
Yes.
Kolya,
yes.
Doogie, Andrew, there's some questions, and they're more like comments instead of
yes.
questions.
Yes.
But we're gonna try to convert them into questions.
Yes,
because again, we want to interact with you, the audience, and we do want this. And I believe we said it on episode 1 and 2. We want you to put questions up.
Yes.
And DM us either through TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, whatever platform this is reaching to you. We want to hear your questions. We want to maybe create a whole podcast based on a question you might have. So if we get more questions pertaining on one topic, that's the one we're going to tackle. Because in reality, this is for you. This is so maybe you might have a church, or maybe you don't have a church that you have access to ask these questions, and we want to come to you. And that's what we're trying to do. So without going any further, as far as that, what would be the question that I highlighted the most, Kolya? Which one would you read, and which one we want to tackle first?
Amen. So on our last podcast, we had Sarmotodanto. They're more like comments, but to the audience, feel free, even after this podcast,
right,
leave a question in the comments below. And on the next scheduled podcast that we have, we'll be more than happy to try to answer them as best as our ability.
Amen.
One of the questions that we had on last week's podcast was from Ryan173X, Pastor.
Okay.
And this was the, I guess a comment he left. He said, Jesus never sent anyone to church.
Okay.
So I would like to pass that on to you and see if you could answer that for Ryan173X.
Okay. Ryan, again, you know, we're not doing this to put your question highlighted, but we do want to answer it. And I understand if maybe all of us have a past, right?
Yeah.
All of us have been bruised by religion at one point or another,
yes,
and that's
sure,
including me. Sure. And I'm sorry if there is some, because I have to say this, Kolya, Andrew, Doogie, I see a lot of pain in a lot of the
yes.
comments.
Yes.
And I'm sorry for your experience. And maybe, let's speak the truth, maybe you had some bad leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the first one to tell you, I'm a product of bad leadership.
Yeah.
And but we cannot let that be our stumbling block. If anything, that needs to be something that we learn from and grow from. I will say this to anyone that's listening to this. Your greater lesson is by learning by someone else's mistakes so that you don't have to do them. I think I would highlight that first. So to the question, I would say Jesus never sent anyone to the church. That's the comment.
Yes, yes.
So scripture teaches us that in essence, Jesus exclusively died for the church and to form the church.
Mm. Very good.
So to say that Jesus never sent us to church, I believe there needs to be a more broader teaching, because Jesus is true. He never sent us to church, which is true. But the problem is maybe our ideology of church needs to shift and change.
Mm.
Yeah, to where the church gather in Corinth did not signify a building or a brand or an organization, but it literally displayed believers of the faith that were converted and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and gathered together to celebrate the Lord. Now, there is a huge amount of mandates of what truly makes us a church.
Mm-hmm.
An example for this right now. We're doing a podcast, but this is not church.
No,
no.
This is a branch from what the core ministry is, but this will never replace what church is. Why? Because I'm speaking to a camera and I'm reading a comment, but the person on the other side, I don't know them personally, like they don't know me. And the same way I can say, well, I don't go to church Romani because they're bad. I have church in my house. How? I watch TD Jakes. Great. You get a word, you get fed, you go about your life. But the idea of having a pastor and a leader so that you can be accountable to it. Now, I don't want to hurt no one's feelings. You can watch TD Jakes for 30 years, but he doesn't know you exist.
Mm, amazing.
So the problem is that we want to change the design.
Yeah.
By having someone talk to us on the prompter. I'm trying to encourage people here to get some ideas so that maybe you can connect to your church.
Amen.
And be part of something greater, because unfortunately, none of us know it all.
Come on.
We have to be corrected. So again, so Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 talks about this very thing. Now I want you to listen, because this is important. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Jesus displays here in Ephesians that Jesus gave himself up for the church. Now I can teach the whole idea of what husband has to be to his wife, but that's not the topic. The topic is that he did give himself up for the church. Again, what's the revelation of the church? Peter, Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Yeah, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter answers and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answers and says, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this church, upon this revelation, upon this rock, which is Peter, I should build my church. But Peter's not the rock.
No.
Peter is a small pebble stone. And I'll be honest with you, if there is a Catholic audience, which there probably is, the Catholic Church has built a great emphasis on this scripture.
Yes.
And they hold the sovereignty of the scripture, because he said to the apostleship linear that only the revelation of the church should be given to the apostleships. And what happens here, there was a misconception about his name. His name in Hebrew does not mean rock. It means a reed in the wind.
Yep.
Very good.
Unstable.
Mm.
So the reality is that it's not because he wants to build his church on instability. He wants to build his church on the revelation who he is that is only given by the Father.
Amen.
Very good.
Amen. So that's that point. And I will answer that. I'm only sure if the person is in front of me, they'll ask a whole bunch of questions. And that's what we want you to do. Not so much comments. And we don't mind the rebukes and the stuff we get on there. We can tolerate it. But we want to help you with it. Believe me, we're not here. Listen, all of us are taking our time. It's late here in Houston. We want to bless you with this. We are not your enemy. We're not here to crucify anyone. We're here to teach and to minister, and as God has given us word, we're taking our time out. Of course, we're giving you context of scripture. We don't want to come with our own ideology, and we want to answer your questions. It's a broad platform, and I know there's going to be a lot of opinion on it, but our opinions can be okay, but it doesn't change the facts. The facts is scripture and what the Bible teaches, and that's what we ought to follow.
Very good.
And I will answer that
good.
Way.
Very beautiful. Good. Very good. Pastor, you said something that Jesus died for the church. So back to his question, Jesus never sent anyone to church. If Jesus died for the church, why wouldn't I want to be a part of it?
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
You understand?
True.
So Come on. I know there was some other questions.
Yeah, I got one.
Doogie, you want to read one for
me? Yeah, I got one. So I really liked this one, and I believe this is something a lot of us probably struggled with in the past. Butch XR7, pastor, he says this. If church workers walk around in the flesh most of the time, I'll stay home and live for Christ. I want your response on that.
Again, Doogie, I have to say this, brother. I think that is truly laced with bad experience.
Yeah.
And I wish that I could speak to every bad experience that everybody had. But if people in the church, which I believe, and I know I'm going to take a huge offense to many people by saying this, but the church in itself, the leadership, the servants, the staff, is supposed to display something that reflects the image of Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Now, me as a leader, this is something that I carry, Kolya. Because within the body of servants, none of us in here started off perfect.
No.
And none of you out there started off perfect. And still, we will never reach perfection. The church is not supposed to be perfect. As a matter of fact, a growing church is always going to be messy. The idea of what we are experiencing as born-again believers, that we are walking in the humility of grace. Which is that, Pastor? What does it mean? It means that you and I have received something from the Lord which we did not deserve. So what our lens needs to be, grace. Because how can I say that person's wrong, that person's right, and I become the one that judges in reality, then who judges me?
Amazing. Mm.
Because if you're not going to look through the eyes of grace, whoever it is, God might use your testimony in your life to correct and to change that person. This is why the love of God covers a multitude of sins. Amen. So no matter what people do, we must understand that we have been given a measure of grace that in reality we did not deserve. So, do I believe in the ordinance of the church? Yes. Do I believe in holiness as the scripture teaches? Yes. You can't play around with God, especially when you're in a position of leadership.
Yeah.
The position of leadership needs to be an example, and no one can say otherwise. We need to be the example and the model of Christ. Paul says, dear children, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. I'm going to drop this ball. If you're not following the example of Christ, let somebody else do it, because you are giving the church a bad name. That is the reality.
Amazing.
So if that person's comment says, hey, listen, what am I supposed to do? I pray that you do find a church. And I'm speaking to you like you were in front of me. I pray that you do find a church. I pray that you find someone that is spirit-filled and is full of humility. Just, I have to say this, don't get stuck with a brand. Follow Christ. And there is people out there. I know many of them. I know many ministers, many servants of the faith that love the Lord and fear the Lord and serve Him with all their heart. You just got to connect with the right one.
Amen.
And I believe the Lord would lead you and guide you.
Amen. Beautiful, Amen. Pastor.
And I think, Andrew, did you want to read one of the questions
for the pastor? Yeah, so Angelo and Tony Girl says, left a comment, that's dead wrong. God said the church is anywhere in a dark room, a hall, doesn't matter, as long as we speak to Him with an open heart.
And just to give some context on that question, I believe it's on the clip
of
Korea, you saying about not attending church, correct?
Correct.
So, go ahead.
Correct. Again, I believe my ministry, again, what's the person's name?
Angelo and Tony Girl.
Angelo and Tony Girl, God bless you. I pray that the Lord of grace guide you, protect you, lead you and your family. If you have one, if not, may the Lord extend you and bless you. But I have to say this to you. My ministry was probably birthed in a prayer closet. That's the idea. I believe there is no limitations of where God can encounter you. But when you do encounter Christ, the very desire that God births in you is to go to the people that have been created in the image and the likeness of God. Your relationship and your development is two different things. And I believe a church can develop you through leadership, and your relationship should be in your private house and also in church. But when you do encounter God truly in the house, you have nothing else but, imagine this, I'm going to speak to you personally. If you encountered the most amazing treasure, because that's what Christ is, right? God reveals Himself to us. We accept Him as the Lord and Savior. How can you contain a treasure so great and keep it for yourself? You cannot. So this is why it's important that the ordinance of the church is to where you gather, you celebrate, and from there, we expand. We go to the houses. We go to the streets. We go to preach. We go to minister. If we don't have that, then we truly have to reevaluate our walk and what truly is the purpose of the believer, the church, not the building. I'll be the first one to say, it's not the building, it's not the brand, it's not the little clique. It's about a true individual believer being part of a body. Paul says that we are many members, but we are all baptized into one spirit, which is one body in Jesus Christ as the head of the church.
Amen.
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 Beautiful. I believe there's so many other questions, and we're not going to cover all of them. I would advise at this, we're about maybe middle point or so, I want you to listen to the whole podcast. We're going to leave some things out? Yes, because we have a certain amount of time. But this is not the only time we're going to get on this podcast. There's going to be other things that we minister and share. At this point, I tell you what I feel, Golia, Doogie, Andrew. One thing that I can never get enough of is the idea of worship.
Amen.
Because in it, we at times feel it's in the church service, the music, the altar. And Golia has been a worship leader, and all of us are worshipers here, and I believe the audience is worshipers too. There is a difference between true worship.
Yes.
And there is a difference between vain worship. Yeah. So let's start with vain worship.
Okay.
Because I believe we kicked off last time with the idea of true worship. So let's give the separation, because sometimes we can enter in a state of religious worship or vain worship, and really it doesn't really coexist to what the Bible talks about, what truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Doogie, so yours.
So before we get into vain worship, I believe we need to understand, Korea, what the word vain means. Right. So definition of the word vain, you got useless, empty, hollow, unsuccessful, right? I believe that a lot of times maybe fall into that category of that type of worship. What am I saying? There's many times in my life that I worshiped in vain, thinking to myself, Gloria, I'm praying, I'm doing this, and I'm not seeing God in my life.
Yeah.
I'm asking for things, but I'm not seeing the growth, right? And I'm empty inside, but maybe the issue was I'm not seeking God the right way, Pastor. So I saw this quote and I found it amazing. We worship God the way we want instead of worshiping the God, worshiping God to His Word. Amen. I thought that was amazing. So let's dive into Scripture. Matthew 15, 8 through 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Very good.
They worship me in vain, and their teachings are merely human rules. So just before this, you see, at the beginning of chapter 15, you see the Pharisees and the teachers come to Jesus, and they say, why does your disciples, this is key, break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands before they eat. And verse 8 through 9 was Jesus's reply. It wasn't that Jesus used Isaiah's words, the prophecy, to criticize their worship. He was actually criticizing their hearts and their way of living, right? Okay, so where do we fall into vain worshiping? So just by thinking we pray good, we act good outside the church, and we think that, hey, that's good enough, and we honor God with our lips only, but our heart says otherwise, Korea. Andrew, I find it amazing. So the word lip service means saying yes with our mouth, but saying no in our heart, right?
Wow.
So we start to utter words that don't oppress God. I can sit here and pray all day long with my words, but what am I doing it for? Is it because it's the Spirit of God that's changing me, or it's something that I'm seeking more? I found that very, very impactful. So if we move to the second part of the verse, we see he starts to talk that they don't honor with their heart, right?
Right.
And I believe the secret of true worship not to take from the subject from you, Korea, but you go to John 4:24, right?
Right.
And to worship in spirit and in truth. And I think sometimes the people don't see the small S instead of the capital S there.
Right.
Right.
And spirit.
Right.
So it can't be only so that small S there is our spirit and the truth there is the truth of the word of God. Amen. Right.
Good. Right.
So we start to seek God for the wrong things again. Maybe self-glory, position in the church, church body, a position, an elder, a deacon, a choir leader. Maybe it might not even be that. Maybe it's a financial gain.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the reasons that we're worshiping God. Or maybe it's our own inventions of the past. Something like my family grew up in church, Andrew.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
You know, Samaga Familia, Selno Kangari, Mogodadsa's pastor, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So right. It was the way that we was taught, and that's the way we learned to worship, right? And it's such a bad mindset.
Yes.
To know that you're worshiping in vain and you don't even know it. Because it's something you was just taught and you're not abounding by the word of God. And this might get a little bit personal or might get somebody so upset, but I couldn't help but thinking when Jesus goes into the temple, right?
Yes.
Right. So we see in Matthew, Jesus entered the temple's courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves.
Yeah.
And he states, it is written to him, to them, my house would be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Amazing. Why am I saying that? I believe that we go to church, Pastor. I believe other people look at other people at what they're selling.
Yes.
What the church is selling. The church is selling status. Mm-hmm. The church is selling position. The nice watch, the car. I have to say it. It catches our attention, and we want that. And what happens, Cole? We start to be devil, please bless me with this. Right. I want to be part of this clique. And we learned that it's vain. We're not amazing. Wanting to bound to God's word. And I believe that, and listen, I'm going to be honest. I fell victim to this myself. I pray that we're able to examine ourselves and to look back as you're hearing this. And if this touches you or if maybe this pushed your buttons,
right?
Maybe we're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So,
amen. And listen, you've heard about vain worship.
Yeah.
Parodivano.
It's hard. It is.
It sounds like a parodivano for some people. Right. Yeah. It's vain worship.
Right.
But as you fell victim into it, so did I.
Yeah.
Doogie. And we could fall victim into that without even understanding.
Amazing.
True.
Butivar, we thought, like we talked about a couple of episodes ago, Pastor. Butivar, we thought that worship was on a Thursday and on a Sunday.
Correct.
And it's about the suit and it's about the watch and it's about the car, and it's in reality, it's nothing to do with those things at all. Now, true worship.
Come on.
I want to talk about true worship. What is true worship? And I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but we used it an example of Abraham and Isaac.
Yes.
We used it that example of what is worship, of obedience and sacrifice. And another example I wanted to use today, there's a story in the Bible. A lot of you know it, but it always touches my heart. And I wanted to read it.
Come on.
It's in Mark 14:3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.
Amazing.
So one thing touches me about that story, Doogie, is that she comes at the feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that the fragrant oil that she was using was very, very costly. And she goes, and the Bible says that she broke the flask and poured it on his feet.
Mm-hmm. No holding back.
And Dhamma Megoji, She could have poured a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Right.
She could have poured half of it or Amazing. Some of it. But
it, all.
It says that she poured it.
Yeah, she broke the flask.
She broke left the flask retain. So that Amazing. There wouldn't be a drop left.
Yes. Wow. Amen.
And it amazed me because she gave what was costly to her mm-hmm. in her worship.
Amazing.
And another story, real quick. Sazik, a prophet, God Bushalas.
Yeah.
In 2 Samuel. I love why I'm told for David. For King David, go to Aruna, Bushal Zogajon. Go to Aruna, I chin lestar e threshing floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that you could worship.
Come on.
I jalo David ka Aruna at a sol leste a karal. I must buy your threshing floor so I could give worship and sacrifice to the Lord.
Right.
I jalo Aruna karal. You know what? You could have it. You could have it at no cost. And look at David's response. I want to read it really quick.
Come on.
Look at David's response. 2 Samuel, what are we at? 2 Samuel 24, verses 24.
Come on.
And look what David's response to Aruna was.
Amen.
Then the king said to Aruna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing."
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Amazing.
So what is true worship? Worship, true worship, is when you give something that's of great value to
Amazing.
You.
Amazing,
Koda. What's of great value to me? My life.
Amen. Yeah,
not giving 50%. Not giving a little bit. Mm. Gana this to 100%. When you give everything you got, Godosa, true worship.
Amazing.
It's amazing because the threshing floor, I believe, was bought on Mount Moriah. And Abraham also, that was the place, that was their place of worship. And anytime they went to the place of worship, they gave something that was of great value.
Great value. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah,
that's absolutely true. And you said that, and only one thing lighted up for me is Abraham becomes the model example
Amen.
Of giving something that you love.
Yep.
Now, if we read it in a way, well, worship is giving the thing that you love the most. Yes or no? I believe that Abraham loved Isaac.
Yes.
Of course.
But I believe he loved the Lord more.
Amen.
Amazing. Amen.
So it's not just because we love God and are willing to give up the things that we value. I believe at the heart of a true worshiper is valuing God above everything.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Nothing should be more valuable than Him. Now to the audience, I will say this. Why is always this comes up? Because your life, according to Romans, it has to be a living sacrifice.
Amen.
So what happens is that if I esteem the Lord as my greatest value, then it's hard to tempt me with things from this world.
That's right.
Because yeah. I find Him to be the greater treasure. Right, Andrew?
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that we can stay on this topic forever.
Yes.
Because
yes, of course.
Worship becomes the model of the church age, isn't it?
Yes.
To worship the Father in spirit and truth, and such is the Father searching for. He's not searching just for your worship. He's searching for you to be a worshiper.
Amen.
He gives two references. I look for the prosconios and I look for the prosconitis.
Very good.
So both the noun, which is us, and both the action, which is the verb. And it's important that we do it in the building and out the building when we get together or when we're not together, that our aroma becomes a living sacrifice to the Lord because it's pleasing for us to put the flesh to the cross. Right, Andrew?
Amen.
Amen.
It's everything that we've talked about so far, and vain, true worship. In my life, I experienced many years of vain worship because, like Doogie said, it was religious. I only went to church because my family was going to church. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. Or right. Home, we go to church.
Right.
And I grew up in churches all my life. And I went to the altar. I went, prayed, but I wasn't actually doing anything. I was just doing it just because it was something everybody's doing. I don't want to just sit in the chair. People are going to think I'm weird. People are going to say something about me.
Right.
Let me just go up there just because. Let me show face. And then when I encountered true worship is when I came to Heart of Worship. And I'm reading Romans 12, and Pastor read it, a living sacrifice.
Go for it.
And being transformed by the renewing of your mind, Amen. That you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God.
Amen.
When I truly encountered Christ for the first time around 4.5 years ago, it was during a prayer in a truck on a Zoom meeting.
Amen.
And I cried out and I said, Lord, if you are there, please let me feel you. Because, Pastor, I was a borderline agnostic.
Wow, Andrew.
I was
amazing.
Not believing.
Wow.
I refused to believe that there was a God. And I cried like a baby. And that transformation happened instantaneously in that moment. The word is metamorphosis. And that transformation happened in my mind instantaneously. And I begun the process of removing myself from being Christless to Christ-like.
Amen.
And constantly being transformed. And like with the comments, in order for this transformation, in order for this growth to happen, you have to be a part of a body.
Absolutely.
You Amen. Have to come to a moment of worshiping with other believers, of submitting to a pastor, of having someone that a mentor to pour into you, to teach
Correct.
You, to bring about studies, to do all of these things. This happens in a body of Christ. It's not the building, it's not the four walls, but it's being with your brothers. It's being with your sisters of the faith. It's fellowshipping with one another. It's sharpening one another through the word, through worship, through just everything that it comes together with being a part of a body. And that's what true worship is to me.
Amen.
It's being a part of a body. It's
Amen.
Coming to that point
Beautiful.
Of
Perfect.
In that process of sanctification.
Double issue.
And it's true. I mean, you're saying the way it is. I mean, how am I supposed to develop and grow if I'm not part of something?
Yes.
I mean, let's speak the truth. We need someone. If King David needed someone to tell him he was wrong,
yeah,
how are we any different?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We need correction sometimes, and it's not going to give us enough time. But in total, there's 8 points of what is the criteria of the local church at a minimum, and in it is what you just said, is having leadership, having someone that exhorts you, having a regular gathering of worship, having the assembly getting together. These are mandates. These are a product of what Jesus left us so that we can keep on celebrating, having communion, worshiping God, getting together, encouraging each other, exhorting each other until his coming. Amen. So if I say I don't want to be part of none of that, I'm going to drop this on you. You're going to, if you're born again and you're saved, you're going to spend all eternity with me. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. I better get used to the idea of being together with yes. people if I'm going to spend right. all eons together.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, Amen. So the church displays the quality of Christ now.
Amen.
And through the transformation, the kingdom has come in partiality. It has come to the believer. There's so much I want to say.
Yeah.
Doogie touched some amazing points. Kolya, you did great. Andrew, great job. I want to say this too. I have to. I'm almost going to say this to you. If I don't touch on this, it's going to bother me. A believer, the tangible aroma of a worshiper.
Come on.
It's not supposed to bring you to Christ of what you wear,
no.
or what you dress, or what you have in your hand. What you drive.
Yeah.
Because if the idea to be a believer is to have a prosperous life, then we just fell in the false doctrine of prosperity.
Amazing. Mm. Wow.
And that maybe has become a big issue in our generation.
Yeah.
That to fit in, Doogie said it perfect. We go in there and to fit in, we break the rules just to blend in.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but.
Amazing.
It can feel very uncomfortable if you're surrounded by people that you have so much more than you and they flash it in your face. You know how I know this? Because I was there.
Amazing. Yeah.
So is this trying to chop off religion? Maybe yes. Is this trying to bring what we should display? Yes.
Yes.
The church needs to display humility, compassion, love. Go after the poor. Go after the broken. go after the loss, the drug addict, the basically everyone and everyone is qualified to be preached to and loved
on. Amen.
There is no one that is out of reach of God's hand. We, the messengers, again, part of the process of having the standard critical idea of what the church is also to evangelize and to preach and to minister and to love on people. Absolutely. Have we maybe forgotten this model? I'm a pastor of the church, and I say I'm doing my best. I'm just a man. But if we abide by God's word, we shouldn't lose our way. I feel we lose our way when, like Doogie said, they try to put the traditions of their elders over God's commandments.
Yes. Mm.
And when we follow tradition over God's word, we lose the focus and we lose the vision in the church.
Amen.
That I think that summarizes at least for this episode. Are we going to talk more about this topic? I feel we are. I don't think it's just over yet. The standard, if I can say a preview of next week, would be 8 points. The standard criteria of the local church. What should it look like at a minimum? And what should it look like in a point of glory? And how does that look like in the model? And then this will help you. This will help you maybe select the right church that you can be part of. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try even the broken place, because in reality, God might use you to correct someone. No limitation what God can do with you. Any last comments?
Come on,
my
Andrew.
Last comment is that when this process does happen to you, and I'm speaking to whoever's watching this and hearing this, when you truly do encounter Christ and that process starts to take place, you're going to want to run to a building. You're going to want to run to fellowship with other believers. You're going to run to that altar. You can't do it alone. The spirit, your spirit inside of you, that process, it's like a dial. The nature of man is changing into the nature of the spirit. And it's going to want to associate with other believers. It's going to want to associate with a pastor. It's going to want to have an authority over them. It's going to want to be poured into. It's going to overflow. And like John chapter 4, a fountain of life.
Amen.
That brings forth eternal life. You will become that fountain as you drink of the fountain of the Lord. And that's what it is. That's true worship brings about that change.
Amen. Amen. Kolya, any last words?
That's it. Nothing else.
That's it. Just one thing. Please, we want to hear from you guys. Whether it's good or bad. Like the pastor said in the beginning, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Don't hold back. Again, we're working to make this for you guys.
Yes.
Amen.
This is not because we have a subject or a discernment we want to share.
Amen.
We want to answer the questions that are left unchecked.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Till next time, send it to someone. We want to reach further, and I believe you could be a witness to it. Forward it to someone. If this has blessed you, listen, write a comment if it blessed you, and if you have a question, write on it too. Be blessed. Till next time, get ready for next week. God bless.
Amen. God bless you guys.
God bless everyone.